The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
By the way, what a way to kick off the season. I gotta tell you, the Mavs versus the Suns is my favorite game on the slate. In the next, like, I can't think of a game I'm more looking forward to in the next week than the Mavs-Suns. Those are two teams. I'm going to get into that in a little while, too. Like, when you talk about sleeper teams, teams that could really go make deep playoff runs, but no one really considers them top three teams in the conference, Mavs and the Suns are two of them. I love this matchup. Of course, the Mavs don't have Porzingis. That takes some of the luster off, but still. Anyway, first it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Look, Steelers lose to the Bengals. That's the third straight loss. And remember, the one win was against a Ravens team where everyone had COVID. No Lamar Jackson, no one. And Pittsburgh barely beat them. And look, they ruined. Here's the chance. You're going to play the Bengals, you're going to beat the Bengals, right? Divisional game, the first time they linked up. I was thinking the Bengals in a sneaky upset or at least a tight game, and Pittsburgh stomped them. So now I'm thinking, sans Joe Burrow, there's no way that the Bengals can win, and then they won. And that's bad for Pittsburgh, obviously. 27-17 loss. Couldn't clinch the AFC North with the easiest game in the division. And Roethlisberger, here's the thing. Are you worried about Pittsburgh? Yeah, but it comes down to one thing, and that's Ben Roethlisberger. Because it's a bad combination when you're not getting run blocking and when you're getting extremely predictable play calling by Kitchener, Fitchner, the offensive coordinator, who was Roethlisberger's quarterback coach for a while. But, you know, three or four years ago. But that's bad enough, right? You can't run the ball because you can't get any run blocking. And you're having predictable play calling. But when you combine that with a quarterback who can't get the ball down the field, it's especially bad. Because they're basically approximating the run game with these short passes from Roethlisberger. And it's going to be less effective when everyone knows they don't have to worry about anything deep. So that is the real problem. It's Ben Roethlisberger. It's the quarterback. And he was really bad last night. He didn't complete any of his seven throws of 10-plus air yards in the first half. Now, what's the defense know after that? It's going to be a long night for the Steelers. The Bengals defense starts to key in on that. They were 14.5-point underdogs. You don't see that often in divisional rivalries or divisional games, at least. Think about that. The Bengals are facing a team that lost 3 out of 4 going in, that had played three games in a 13-day stretch at one point, And then was coming off a loss after that on a short rest, by the way. It was 3 games in 13 days and then short rest against the Buffalo Bills. This is the first time they had a full week's rest. But after that, you know, trial by fire late in the season, the Steelers were crispy. But how often do you see, with given all that, the odds makers are saying Pittsburgh? If you want to bet Pittsburgh, you got to give the Bengals 2 touchdowns and then some. And they lost. Their win, along with the Bengals win, along with the Jets, who were 17-point underdogs against the Rams. But that makes sense. First of all, not a divisional rivalry, an AFC versus NFC game. One of the best teams in football, one of the better ones, certainly, especially in the last month or two, the Rams, versus the worst team in football, clearly the Jets. That is like, I get a 17-point spread. I get it. In the NFL, that's dangerous, but I get it. 14.5 points in the division. Oof. Anyway, it's the first time two underdogs of at least 2 touchdowns have won outright in the same week since the year I was born, 1973. Boy, those were massive upsets. If the Steelers lose to the Colts next week, and there's a good chance they will, and the Browns beat the Jets, and there's a good chance they will, both teams will be 11-4. So what does this come down to? I was talking about this a couple weeks ago. Ooh, week 17, Steelers-Browns in Cleveland, AFC North Championship on the line. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. And by the way, do you believe in the Browns, yes or no? That's the game that'll tell you everything. It'll tell you everything. Forget about whether they win the division or not, the Browns. It'll tell you everything. Pittsburgh in free fall. Divisional crown on the line. You have to beat the two big brothers in the division. You got to beat them. And they've lost twice to Baltimore, and they've lost to Pittsburgh. That'll tell you every, but they're trending in the right direction, right? Baker Mayfield led him right down the field after Lamar came limping or came out of the locker room with cramps or whatever it was and threw that 44-yard, had that 44-yard touchdown play on fourth and five. And then Baker's nodding on the sideline like, okay, I got this, leads the Browns right down the field. They score, and Lamar gets back four completions, and they kick a field goal. But it's like, okay, no moral victories in the NFL. That's not true. Yes, there are. And that was one for the Browns, trending in the right direction. Can you imagine if they lose to the Steelers last game of the season after all that, still fail to beat their divisional rivals at all? They go 0-4 against the two teams they got to beat in the division. Lose the AFC North crown after trending in the right direction. Ooh, that would be brutal. But think about it from Pittsburgh's point of view. It would also be totally brutal. When they were undefeated, can the Steelers go undefeated? And then, oh my God, Roethlisberger's comeback player of the year. Is he in the MVP conversation? And then you blink and you go, Roethlisberger can't throw the ball more than 10 yards. The Steelers can't run the ball. Their defense is compromised because of injury and because they're exhausted. And all of a sudden you look and you go, wait, they're going to not even win the division? They're going to lose it to the Browns? What a Week 17 matchup. That's great. And I got to say something. When you look, we were arguing about this on First Take today. The Steelers, you know, like how much is Tomlin to blame? When you looked at the schedule, let's back up. The Steelers are supposed to have a bye later in the season like every other team. Instead, they had to take it week four because the Titans got COVID. So they had to take an early bye, and you knew this part of the season was going to be brutal because they had an early season schedule that favored them. It was very soft. But later on, it got tough, right? I just mentioned they're going to play the Colts. They have to play the Bills, they played the Bills already. They had the Ravens. Like, oh, okay, here comes the Steelers' kind of tough part of the schedule, right? But they're supposed to have a mini bye to kind of make up for it. And by the way, host the Ravens at home on a short week. That's a big advantage for the host, for the home team. And that got messed up too. Then they play three games in 13 days right in the teeth of their tough part of the schedule on no rest because they had to take the early bye. They got screwed by the schedule. And that coincides with Roethlisberger looking his age. Don't forget, he's coming off a catastrophic injury, missed the season. And when you looked at the schedule and you go, okay, the Ravens, the Bills, Washington, and who'd they just lose to? I just talked about it for 20 minutes. And the Bengals, right? You look at those teams and you go, they should go 2-2. They're going to lose to the Bills, maybe to the Ravens, and they should beat Washington. They should beat the Bengals, right? You look, a reasonable expectation given the fact that they missed their bye and they got messed around with the schedule. 2-2 in that kind of, in the teeth of their schedule there. And instead of 2-2, they're 1-3. It's not quite as bad as people make it out to be, but you're not supposed to lose to the Bengals. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Scoop Jackson joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, ESPN senior writer. What's going on, Scoop?
What's up, man? Happy holidays to you, man.
And happy holidays to you, Scoop. Here's the problem with an early Hanukkah. The holidays are over already. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
the holidays
are
over.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah. If you came over to our side, you could start Kwanzaa the day after Christmas, man. It's all good.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's nothing like being Jewish on Christmas because you are truly left alone by the world. You can order some Chinese food. You know, you can hang out, watch basketball all day. No one's bothering you. And, you know, as a grown-up, you ain't getting presents. You got to get the presents. You don't have to worry
that
about shopping.
So good. That sounds like a Larry David joke, man. You should go write for him. That's classy.
Well, listen, Larry David and I have certain things in common, including probably that. All right, listen. I have to tell you something. The Jews messed up about Hanukkah a little bit, and this is the thing, Scoop. what we did, we're like, okay, this Christmas thing is, yeah, this is a tough one because, you know, your kids get jealous of course, Christmas is the greatest holiday ever. So we're like, aha, watch this. You're going to get, because no one does presents on 12 nights of Christmas. You do one night. So one day. So, aha, but we're going to do 8 days. Look at how clever we're being. 8 days of presents, kids. See, you're not going to miss Christmas. It's Hanukkah. You know what the problem is, Scoop? You know what the problem with it is? We turned the Super Bowl into the World Series. We diluted it. It's over seven days or 8 days. It's like a best of seven instead of the Super. No, who wants to turn the Super Bowl into the World Series? All right, look, I digress.
Hey, man, hey, it's like having February as your month. You see what we got to go through?
Yeah. I see. February, right. You get the shortest month. It's freezing cold.
We're in the same. We're all the same, man.
Yes, of course, that's Black History Month. It's the shortest one, and it's freezing
cold. Shortest month.
The powers that be sat down and said, all right, we're going to have to give them a month. Let's think about it. What's the worst month? Give them that one. Right, yeah.
Hey,
all right,
at least you all were able to choose how you spread out your holiday celebration.
It was decided for you.
We didn't have a choice in the matter.
Scoop, let me add. All right, here's my take. I'm going to tell you my take. Ready for this? Because Perkins was on me and Dominic Foxworth was on me on First Take. You know who needs to win the championship more than any other player, who needs it this year more than any other player in the NBA? You ready for this? LeBron James. LeBron James needs it the most, Scoop. He is a Laker. Only reason Lakers fans like to win a championship is because you can't repeat before you win the first one. And the only reason they like to win two is you can't three-peat before you repeat. These are the most demanding fans in the world in basketball, and because they're used to it. Okay, that's one. Two, he's on the best team in the world, and they got better in the offseason. And they were taking care of the whole Western Conference bell to bell, winning series 4-1. They never got taken seven the whole playoffs. And he's playing, the best player in the world is playing with another top five, arguably the second best player in the world. Scoop, he can't not win the championship. That'd be a disaster.
Yeah, and not even from a legacy standpoint of what he's dealing with, because the LeBron James, Michael Jordan argument is still the biggest argument in sports. It's bigger than the seasonal NBA conversations that we have, because it's transcended just a regular sports argument. So from a legacy standpoint, you're correct. And time is running out on LeBron to, like, really lament himself in that conversation, really take over that conversation, so he does have to win it. And also, you know, this whole argument about Anthony Davis possibly being the best player he's ever played along, so that takes away the excuses of why haven't you won a championship or why you all just got one together. So I'm with you on that one. I'm with you.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I never hold against LeBron. Like, he lost in 07. They had no business in the finals in 07. That just speaks to how great he is, that he dragged them there, that roster there. I don't hold that against him. I don't hold against him losing to the 73-win Warriors, who added KD. You lose those, of course you can't beat that team. By the way, I don't hold it against them the first time they lost to the Warriors. Kevin Love and Kyrie got hurt. That's just amazing. He took them 6 games. But I do hold the Mavericks' loss against them. I do hold the loss to the Spurs, who are an amazing team, but so are the Heat. You know, that's just straight up two great teams you lost. And this year would be like one of those, Scoop. You know, the history of the league, when you got two top MVP caliber players on the same team, they almost always win the championship.
Here's the thing, Max. The one piece about this Jordan-LeBron argument that people really bring up that I've hardly heard is, you never have heard anybody talk about the teams that LeBron has been on that have won championship in the context of them being one of the greatest teams ever. So if we're talking about greatest player, we also talk about greatest teams. And, you know, if Jordan and LeBron's teams ever match up, there's not a team that LeBron has been on that we can actually say in the sports argument that could compete with the Bulls at all. Here's the thing. Yeah. If this team right now, the Lakers, if they play themselves over the next couple of years and being in a conversation of one of the great, you know, top five, top 10 teams in the NBA, that will be a first in LeBron's career. But he needs that for this legacy argument that we're having. And this makes it no excuse for you not to win, because of all the other teams you've been on, those that have won championship, they've never been considered one of the greatest teams in NBA history. You have a chance right now with AD at his peak, with the players that you're building around, and with the players over the next couple of years that are going to want to come there because of who you all are. you can now enter into, hey, we have one of the greatest teams in history. And that is what cements your argument. And yeah. Now it's like, okay, I can really be in a conversation with Jordan because we can have an individual conversation about this, but now I'm on a team that we can have a conversation about. And LeBron doesn't have that in the lexicon of this conversation. That's necessary, and he has a chance to do that right now.
Scoop Jackson joins me on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, ESPN senior writer. You're listening to the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Okay, speaking of legacy, Scoop, I thought Kevin Durant, after making a choice to go to the Warriors, which to me was about lifestyle and having fun playing basketball, but I don't think, in my mind at least, it didn't enhance his legacy because, again, you added an MVP caliber player to a 73-win team. Dude, you can't not win the championship. Like, it's almost impossible. So to me, that didn't prove a whole lot. But then he made a gutsy choice. Recovering from an Achilles, he goes to Brooklyn, USA, and teams with Kyrie to try to bring a championship in basketball to a championship-starved basketball town. Do you think Kevin Durant and Kyrie will work?
I think with the keeping the pieces that they kept and removing themselves from this whole James Harden nonsense about, you know, giving up what they had to give up to make that happen, I think doing that, keeping the core of the team, keeping the culture of the team, and allowing Steve Nash over the course of the next 3 or 4 years, however long, you know, Kyrie and KD decide to stay there, giving him a chance to grow as a coach and building the coaching team around him that he seems to be building, I think eventually it's going to work. And when you say work, do you mean winning a championship
or do you mean being
competitive at a championship level?
Because you got to win a championship, Scoop.
Back to what I said earlier. If the Lakers win it this year, and now they're in the conversation of one of the greatest teams of all time because of their makeup, does that make it, you know, do you still give Brooklyn a chance, or is it okay if they lose a championship or two to that team because they're that great?
It's fine if you lose as long as you also win. In other words, what Kevin Durant's mission is, you got to win a championship in Brooklyn. You don't have to do it in year one. I agree. Do not have to do it in year one. But you got to win. What's interesting to me, what you said, is the James Harden nonsense, because a lot of people would say adding another superstar would make it better. But when I look at this Nets roster, particularly if you want to play KD as a five, even though it's not really like a 1-2-3-4-5 anymore, but if you want to play him as your big, or as at least the tallest player on the court, because he could do a lot of things defensively, too. I'm looking at the depth of excellent players on the team. You know, like Joe Harris fits in any lineup, can shoot the lights out. But Dinwiddie can do a lot of things. And LeVert is a real player. Like, Dinwiddie and LeVert are bubble all-star type players who are ascending. And when you add Harris, who can shoot like that, to your main two guys, maybe they are just better off competitively without James Harden.
Well, I think if you lose all of that, you lose the culture of the team, and you're starting to build a culture from square one if you get Harden in there. Because KD is new to that, Kyrie is new to that, Steve Nash is new to that, and James Harden would be new to that. The players you just mentioned, Max, are the core of that team. That's that team's entire culture. You can't lose a culture, an entire culture, and expect to be competitive when you're starting off at square one when other teams have already have something built in. So that's where I'm coming from. You know, I hear what you're saying. You make perfect sense about the depth of what they'll lose. But in the process of losing that, you lose your entire culture. And now you have to build up a whole new identity with three new players who have nothing to do or have no connection to the culture that was there before. You know, so I think that's a large thing to ask. And once again, I think if they get to the finals and lose to the Lakers, if the Lakers become that team that becomes generational, we have a legacy conversation about how good this Lakers team really is over the next 10 years. I think it's okay if KD and Kyrie don't win a championship, only if they lose to this all-time potentially great Laker team. If they lose to anybody else, that's a different conversation. But I think they'll be all right, and I think it will work if this is the team they wind up losing to, if this becomes their rivalry and their albatross.
The great Scoop Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you coming on, as always, Scoop. We finally get to see it tonight. Kyrie and KD. That going to be enough to get out of the East? Ooh, Brooklyn, USA, Kyrie and KD.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What was Dwayne Haskins did? He must want out of there. Dwayne Haskins does not come across as a fool to me. So that makes me think that he wants out of there. Where does he think his market is, though? I thought Haskins was going to be good. You know what? I'm still not convinced he won't be good. Haskins is much more of a traditional quarterback than these really mobile guys, than these running guys. I mean, he's a little more mobile than given credit for, but you remember in the old days, it used to take 2-3 years in the right situation for a first-round quarterback to make something of himself. So I haven't given up on Haskins, but I'll bet you the league has. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, if you want to talk about the start of this NBA season. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance because the NBA tips off tonight. Can Kyrie and KD bring a title to Brooklyn, USA, to New York City? You know how long it's been? I was born in 1973, but in August. That means not that you can remember things when you're 0 years old, but, you know, the Knicks won in January. Knicks won, in early 73. I wasn't born until August. In my lifetime, I'm 47. You know what I've lived through? Fall of the Berlin Wall. Like the whole, I lived through Muhammad Ali's heavyweight reign, Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson, you know, like on and on. The Bronx is burning, all types of stuff going on. 47 years, zero Knicks championships. Forget the Knicks. That doesn't mean you got to forget New York. I mean, ABA, Dr. J got one with the Nets when they were on Long Island. But like NBA championship in New York City, oof. Meantime, you're going to get to see them against Steph Curry in his return. No Clay, but he still got Dre. Forgot about Dre. Warriors ain't doing anything this year. They don't have enough shooting. They really don't have enough shooting. I don't think shooting is everything, but Steph Curry shoots, you know, the greatest shooter ever. Not even a single serious rotation piece shoots even average for their position. Not even one. I don't see it with the Warriors. Not as currently constructed. I love Dallas against Phoenix tonight. I love it. Now, Porzingis, what are you looking at me for, Raj?
Well, I mean, I want to see that game too, but I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow.
Sorry, tomorrow. What is it? What's today? Yeah. What's today? If today, let me hold on. Carry the
Tuesday.
Two.
We got two games.
No, Tuesday.
Today.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Dallas and Phoenix tomorrow. I can't wait.
You opening your presents early.
Can't help it. I know what sucks is Porzingis is not going to be playing. That's really that you know, but when like I just want to see what this Phoenix team looks like. I really think when Porzingis gets rolling for Dallas though, and they're going to make sure they're going to play take it very easy with him at first. When Porzingis gets rolling, Doncic and Porzingis, like think about what kind of complementary pieces you'd want around them. A guy like Kleber, right? A 6'10" power forward who can shoot from the outside and defend. And Finney Smith, right? A long, lanky, also shooter and real defender. And then you want another guy who can shoot and maybe get his own shot if you need him to. How's Tim Hardaway Jr.? They have, like, perfect complementary pieces around Doncic and Porzingis. They brought in Richardson. They had to give up a lot of shooting in Seth Curry for that. But Richardson, more of a D and 3 guy than a 3 and D guy. But the bottom line is you're going to play him more minutes than Seth Curry. That means he's better. If Seth was better, Seth would play more minutes, right? Like, let's be honest. They got a real squad. And Phoenix, oh, my God. When DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick, who ain't a bust. I mean, redo the draft. You take Luka, of course, right? But DeAndre Ayton is already a very good NBA player, right? He evolves a little bit more. He's an all-star. That's still not his full potential. And that's your biggest question mark? You got Mikal Bridges, and like you got two legit 3-and-D guys, just like the Mavericks when you look at the complementary pieces. And then you look in that backcourt. Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And Devin Booker's like, if you took a little bit of the explosiveness and size away from Kobe Bryant in his prime, that's Devin Booker. With Chris Paul in the backcourt, that is going to be a beast. I can't wait for that game. The NBA is going to be so good this year. The only question is it a fait accompli with the Lakers? And then outside of Lakers fans, does that ruin the season for everyone else? Or are you looking in Philly like Daryl Morey ain't done? In Brooklyn, come on, KD, just be most of what you were. In Milwaukee, do you believe Drew Holiday is the guy to get you over the hump, right? Now it's not just Giannis, and now Middleton's his second best player, and oh, if only Bledsoe would play in the, you know, perform in the playoffs. No, Drew Holiday is a truly great defender, combo guard, who can run your offense and shows up big in the playoffs. You know who shows up big in the playoffs? High IQ players. So they're looking at Milwaukee and Philly and Brooklyn. I mentioned Phoenix, Dallas. How about Denver? The Clippers. Oof, oof, God, NBA is so good. Tips off tonight. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. And let me tell you why LeBron James is the guy who most needs to win a championship. Ooh, I was arguing with Kendrick Perkins. Was all over me today on First Take. You would say James Harden. Does James Harden have a chance to win a championship right now at this moment? Like, we don't know what team he winds up on. He has zero chance. So does he need the championship the most? Like, in a vacuum, theoretically, but not in reality, because no one thinks he's going to win it this year. No, forget Harden. Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, it'd be great. Does anyone believe Paul George is going to show up in the playoffs? No, we don't believe you. You need more people. Right? Like, that's the bottom line about the Clippers. And they didn't get their guy. They didn't get Rondo or Chris Paul or someone who could organize that offense and make plays when it counts. Make that offense more cohesive and fluid. They didn't get it. The Lakers improved more than the Clippers did in the offseason. So Kawhi, does he need it? He's already got two, and the fact is we don't believe he's got the squad. Who else does that leave? Giannis. Giannis needs one more than LeBron. Guys, they did get Drew Holiday. But the Bogdanovich deal fell through, and the truth is, even had they also gotten Bogdanovich, the Lakers would have been favorites. LeBron James just won for L.A. Lakers fans expect you to now win again, particularly since you gentlemen swept the Western Conference, and then the Eastern Conference champions couldn't take you seven games. And you got better on paper in the offseason. No, LeBron's got to win. Jay from the Bronx, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Kellerman, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, Jay?
Two-part thing. Number one, this LeBron narrative. Let's just move on. He's the second-best player ever, mm-hmm. other than Michael Jordan. I don't want to hear no Wilt Chamberlain. We never watched him play. I don't think he needs the championship. He's never passing Jordan no matter what. He's just stuck being number two.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so fair enough. That's fair. So whether he wins or not this year, I still feel the same way. And number two, I'm going to need you. And you have a skill. You get my blood to boil in a good way. Where I'm listening to you. What was that?
Yes, thank you very much. It's a talent.
It's like I'm going to need you to stop trying to make fetch a thing. Nobody cares about the Brooklyn Nets. Nobody cares about Kyrie burning sage. You got your boy Dinwiddie trying to peddle himself off for Bitcoin.
Who you think they care about, Jay? Hold on, Jay, time out. You're in the Bronx. Who do you think they care about in New York?
The Knicks are terrible. I'm going to start with that. I'm a Knicks
right.
fan. We are
right.
terrible, but like,
no, Jay, let me explain something to you. Jay, how old are you?
34.
Okay. I've been around 13 years longer than you have, okay? Just listen to me for a second. The reason the Knicks are New York's team, or were, the reason they stink for so long and yet they held the affection of the city is because they were running unopposed. There was no alternative. The Nets were in Jersey, the New Jersey Nets. There was never another team in the NBA in New York to compete with the Knicks for the affections of New York City.
Just
they're there what? Now. It's over for the Knicks. It's a Nets town, and no one cares about the Nets. Everyone cares about the Nets. They're a national team. They're an international team. There are kids in China and like England named Brooklyn, right? Like Brooklyn is a name that rings bells all over the world. People name their kids after that borough. By the way, Jay from the Bronx. I was born in the Bronx. My parents are from the Bronx. In New York, the Bronx rings bells, of course. But globally, Brooklyn's like the sexiest place in the world, the sexiest borough in the world. Talk about name recognition. And the Brooklyn Nets, a borough that's had no major league championship since 1957, the Dodgers, in a basketball-starved and basketball championship-starved town, have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? And you think no one cares? 888-SAY-ESPN. Axe Max is next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. Axe.
Wow.
Max.
Now it's time to ask Max. Andre in Cape Cod, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What you want to ask me?
Yeah, Max, I want to ask you how you're going to react when the Brooklyn Nets become the class of the town, the talk of the town in NYC. Because as I see it, it's not just about the talent on the court. The Brooklyn Nets have the best coaching staff in the NBA. They have four NBA head coaches, Nash, D'Antoni. Don't forget about Jacques Vaughn, who's still there, and M.A. Udoka. That's why I think they're the odds-on favorites to win the Eastern Conference. I need to ask you, Max, how are Knicks fans going to respond?
Knicks fans will become Nets fans. Understand, Knicks fans, like I was a Knicks fan, and your loyalty is about your suffering. Like if you suffered for that long, was it all in vain? Your loyalty is about the work that Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley put in. And before them, if you're old enough, and I'm not, Clyde Frazier and Willis Reed and Dave DeBuscia, right? Like Earl the Pearl and Dollar Bill Bradley. But in my era, it was is Patrick Ewing. Before them, Bernard King. And later on, you know, Marcus Camby and Anthony Mason and all these guys. Like, that's where it's those guys that you still respect and love. And your heart and soul was in the team and all the stuff. It's all for naught, right? Like, it didn't mean anything if you just abandoned ship. But then you realize, if you think about it long enough, what did the Knicks ever do for me? How did they reward all that suffering and hope? With nothing. With James Dolan thumbing his nose at the fans. And now, a team grows in Brooklyn. And you see how if a New York franchise is simply run competently, just like that, superstars want to come. But they never come to the Knicks. No, Knicks fans will become Nets fans. Khalil in Arizona, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. So, everyone's talking about Dallas. Everyone's talking about the Suns. No one's talking about the Nuggets. We were the second best team in the West. Why is no one talking about the Nuggets?
I think because the Nuggets don't look like they really improved. You know, Porter Jr., as he improves, so will the Nuggets improve. As Jamal Murray is ascendant, so will the Nuggets improve. But they didn't make major roster changes. And what we saw was they really were no match for the Lakers. And that's who they have to overcome. And Jamal Murray and Jokic are just a sick 1-2. But LeBron and AD are a better 1-2. And they didn't improve the supporting cast enough to compensate. In fact, the Lakers improved the supporting cast. But otherwise, I hear you. I mean, you really, your hopes rest on Porter Jr.'s improvement. And he should improve. He's young. Who's the loss on? Big Ben or Tomlin? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.